In verses 3 and 4, we're going to refresh our minds what this says, and I want to dig a little deeper into this today. But if you were not here on that Sunday evening service, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that so you can get a full understanding of what we were talking about when we're talking about spiritual warfare, when we're talking about strongholds being broken. Because many times I believe that people think of strongholds as something that is just this invisible spiritual demonic thing that is like too big for us. And we think of that mindset of, you know, spiritual strongholds, like they're hard to be broken. And how do you break them? But I want to go back into exactly what a stronghold is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. And then we'll pick up from there. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Let's stop there. So a couple weeks ago, I went through the five different verses that actually mentions warfare, spiritual warfare in the Bible. And every single instance, I wanted you to see that every single instance that it's talking about the war that comes against our soul. The war that comes against our soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions of a person. It's not this mystical thing. It comes against the mind of a person. And so, but God tells us here in 2 Corinthians, in his word, that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not fleshly in nature. And it says that they instead are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. So God has given us the weaponry that's needed in order to pull down strongholds, to pull down the things that have maybe formed a stronghold in our life. Well, we have to look at that word to really understand what it is that we're talking about. So we went and we talked about the what a stronghold was. And a stronghold, according to the actual original language of the Greek, is a heavenly fortified containment. But what else is interesting, it is a false argument in which a person trusts or escapes reality. A false argument in which a person trusts in to escape reality. Another definition, arguments or reasoning used to defend an opinion. Arguments or reasoning used to defend an opinion. So a stronghold is based where? In the mind, in our reasoning, in our understanding, in our intellect. It's not some mystical thing out there that we, you know, have no idea, like we can't see it. It's these, you know, demon forces setting up, invisible things in the atmosphere. No, the strongholds are in the minds of people. However you think is how you will behave. Whatever you believe is how you will respond and react in life. And so whatever has become a stronghold in our own life is how we will respond or react. It's how we will live life according to our belief systems. And so once we become new creatures in Christ, then what does the word tell us to do? To renew the mind, right? It's our spirits that have been reborn. So our spirits are made new. We are new creatures, but we have to inform the mind. We have to educate the mind to the things of God, to his word. We have to wash our mind with the renewal of the word, the washing of the word, so that we can understand his ways. Because we become Christians, but the next day we're still oftentimes we're doing things that have to do with our old way of thinking. And so it takes time to renew our mind to the things of God. Now the Holy Spirit is then in us and he leads us and guides us. So we get a check in our spirit that says, no, God wants you to do this or go here. But a lot of times we don't understand the reasoning behind something until we get into his word and begin to understand what his word says, the principles of his word, the wisdom of his word. And even Wednesday night, I talked a little bit just about the difference between knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And wisdom is the application of what you know. So you can know something, but never apply it. So wisdom is the application of knowledge. It's the application of what you know and understand. So in this passage of scripture, when it talks about, you can see that pulling down strongholds, it goes right into, and there's a comma right after that. It says pulling down strongholds, and then it goes into casting down what? Arguments. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So the pulling down of strongholds is the pulling down of false thinking or wrong thinking, wrong beliefs, wrong doctrines, wrong understanding, wrong ways of looking at things, wrong belief systems. And even in 2 Corinthians, if you flip back to chapter 4, it talks about how the God of this world blinds the minds of unbelievers. Because the enemy, Satan, is considered the God of this world. So he blinds the minds of unbelievers. So once we get saved, then we have to begin to unveil the mind according to the word of God. That's why when you read the word of God before you're saved, there's a lot of like, I don't get it. When you read the word of God after you're saved, it's like the light starts coming on. And it's like you start getting these revelations because the Holy Spirit is beginning to open things up to you. And it's a wonderful thing. It's like, oh, wow. And of course, that never ends. We continue to do that throughout life. We go deeper and deeper in the things of God. Greater revelation in the word of God. Just because you learn one principle doesn't mean that that's all there is. His principles are not just one level. It's like multiple, you know, those rocks that have the sediment layers. It's like that. It's like layer upon depth upon depth of his knowledge and his revelation. So we don't stop digging. We don't stop and go, I've heard that. I know that. We go deeper. We go deeper in the things of God. And so these strongholds that have to be pulled down, most of the time they're built because, for one, out of comfort. For instance, people groups that do not understand the word of God, they've not been raised around the things of God, and they make up their own gods. Well, then they have to explain things like death and the life after. So they'll start creating things that will be a system of belief that will then begin to form the traditions of a whole culture. And then that culture will stem everything they do upon the belief system of the what they believe is the afterlife or the eternity. And that becomes a stronghold in the minds of people. So many times things, when something faces us in life and we don't understand it and we're trying to reason out like, okay, I don't get this. Somehow I have to make sense of this. Somehow I've got to understand what's going on so that I can realize, am I supposed to arm up or am I supposed to sit down because this is what God's called me to? Like that's when people think that God is making them sick to teach them something. Well, they're not going to fight that sickness and disease if they think that God's putting it on them. So that belief system can keep them from their healing. Because now I think, well, if God's putting it on me to teach me a lesson, then you know, I must need to learn something through this. I'm just going to accept it. I'm going to receive it. And I'm just going to go through life and just kind of operate according to this belief system and just deal with it. But if I know that the enemy has placed it on me, and I know God has freedom for me, then I'm going to fight that thing. Because I realize who my enemy is. And I know that he's trying to hold me back and put me in bondage. So I refuse to sit on my butt about it. And I'm going to go after that thing because I know God has set me free. I know he's delivered me. So I'm going to go for the freedom and the deliverance that Jesus Christ paid for. So the belief system will determine how we operate. It will determine what we choose to do in life. So these strongholds of the mind, our belief systems, many times can be because of we're trying to figure out a way to find that peace or find the reasoning or the understanding around a circumstance or situation. And it's like we reason something out to figure out how to receive what it is that life just handed us. Another way that strongholds can be created is because influential people tell us something and we believe it because they were influential, whether it's our parents, teachers in school, people that we hear on media, whatever it is, that influential person has spoke something and we just believe that they are the credibility factor of that thing. And if we don't go to the Word of God and check that as the source and check it as a, if we don't fact check it, then we can find ourselves believing wrong things and thinking it's truth. See, the only truth there is Jesus Christ and his Word. And Jesus is the Word. So he is the Word. The Word is truth. And that's the only truth that can be built upon. So everything has to be stayed upon the Word of God. Everything's got to be upon the standard of the Word of God. And so these strongholds have to be displaced. It's not enough to just say, oh, okay, well, I guess that's not true, but I don't know what to believe in. We have to find the truth. In fact, jump over to John with me for a moment. Chapter 8, John 8. Look at verse 43. And he's speaking to the Pharisees here. And if you go back to the beginning of the chapter, he actually is speaking from a place because they brought the woman that had committed adultery. And the whole reason they brought her was they were trying to find a reason to accuse Jesus. So with that in mind, he's speaking to them. There's a lot of stuff that's going on in between that and everything that he's saying here. But then he comes out with this statement and he says, why do you not understand my speech? Or why don't you understand what I'm saying? These words that I say to you, why don't you understand it? And it says, because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father, you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so he's showing here, he said, you're just like your father, the devil, who speaks lies. He was a murderer in the beginning. Well, you might be like, well, I'm not a murderer, so that must not be me. But understand, he's speaking to the Pharisees who's trying to bring this case to Jesus to find an accusation that they can throw at him so that they can take him to court, so that they can murder him. They're trying to remove him. So he's calling them out on what they're doing. He's saying that the enemy was a murderer from the beginning. He said, you're not being any different. You're believing the same lies that the enemy hands down to you. Where's it at, though? It's in the mind. They're believing falsehoods. Why? Because of what they're around. All the Pharisees are just there, you know, one another, just telling, well, this guy, he's evil. He's coming. He's messing up this whole system. And he thinks they, you know, he's saying he's the Son of God. Well, do you ever stop and think and maybe look at the prophecies? You know, the people of that day, the common people, had more discernment than the Pharisees did. Because they had gotten so religious. They had gotten so systematic and had so many of their own man-made traditions and laws that they didn't even use their own discernment and look and say, look at this man that is doing miracles and signs and wonders, and he is good and he's teaching the word. And through that, they're like, something is different. This guy speaks with authority. They could sense it. They knew something was different about this man. And so they believed him and they followed him. But these Pharisees, they won't even do that. Why? Because they're believing a lie. And it determines the course of their life. And they refuse to believe when the Son of God is right in front of them. And instead, they want to kill him. Instead, they want to crucify him. Instead, they want to crucify the very word that's being spoken out, the very manifestation of God, God in flesh. Can you imagine? And so this lie had that much power over their mind, over their life. Lies will dictate the course of our life. But the problem is, whenever we believe a lie, we don't think it's a lie. That's a big problem. We don't think it's a lie. If we're like living our life by it and we believe it, then we don't realize like that's a lie. Otherwise, if we did, we wouldn't follow it. So that's why it's so important that we understand the word of God around everything in life. All the aspects of life, because if not, because there's a lot of lies that are being sown into our communities and into our nation now. Things that tell people that, oh, this is your identity. You can choose whatever identity you want. And what does the enemy do? Let's slip this in at preschool. Let's slip this in at kindergarten, in first grade, second grade. When these children have no protection around them, we'll slip it in. Because the longer that a person believes a lie, the harder it is to shatter it later. So they try to grip a person. A person can also believe lies because of past experiences that have happened to them. Things through life, and they believe that becomes their truth. But it doesn't mean that it's God's truth for you. God has greater. God has better. God can break things that happen to us and bring us into a place of freedom. But we must believe it. We must believe in the truth of God. So we have to debunk those things, because man naturally wants something to believe in. So he's not going to believe in nothing. So when people, I mean, even agnostics that say they don't believe in anything, like that's a lie. You can't just believe in nothing. Like what, man just appeared? No, they believe in something. But what they believe in is not true. The truth is found in the Word of God. But if man doesn't have an answer, then they create something. Man will create something to believe in. They'll create a reason for something. So all these things that sometimes just, well, you know, you're always going to be in debt. Well, you know, these are the things that happen in life. Well, you know, we just become angels when we die. God needed another angel. Stupid sayings that people just say, and it becomes even a belief system, and it's not biblically correct. And so then people can get hard towards God because they think that God took their child or God took somebody from their life when it's not even true. Belief systems that are wrong, but it divides them away from God and the promises and the good things of God, the goodness of God, because they believe it. And it stems from what? The father of lies. The enemy. So the enemy's not there putting some massive power on you that you can't resist. It's all through deception. This right here is the battleground, and this is our greatest asset. But he's given it to us free will for us to decide what to do with. So we've got to take care of that. We can't get lethargic. We can't allow distractions to pull us away and be like, you know, everything that the enemy tells you is not important, you should pay attention to that. Like, oh, don't pray. It's not important. Yeah, oh, it's not a big deal to not read your Bible. The things you don't feel like doing until you get a hunger for it, those are the things. The reason that feels like that is because the enemy's trying to convince you that it's not powerful, that it won't make a difference, that it's not true. So those are the types of lies that he tries to tell you. Why? Because prayer is effective. Prayer is powerful. Reading your word renews your mind, and it changes the course of your life, because the more of that you get in you, the more that you're walking in freedom. So I read to you John 8, 43 and 44, but go back up, jump up to verse 31. And he says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, to the ones that believed him, he said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free or make you free. See, it's the truth that brings us into freedom. It's the truth that brings us peace. It's the truth that brings us into the realm where we can then begin to be delivered and set free in something. It's the truth that takes us to higher levels. It's the truth. When we walk truth out, then that's when we see succession and advancement in our life. So when we apply the word of God, the truth will set us free, and the enemy knows that. The enemy knows that if he can get you to believe the lie of his, then what? You'll operate according to that lie. That you will live according to that philosophy. And then he won't even need to do anything. Like, if he can get you to believe the lie, then all he has to do is step back and let you go from that point. Because you're operating according to a philosophy or a lie that's not true. And you'll just kind of do your own thing and walk the road of destruction on your own, or destroy your own path, because you're operating according to a lie. So the enemy will try to keep those doors open of wrong thinking, wrong belief systems, wrong doctrines, memories, past experiences. Yeah, but that, you know, that's how it was for Aunt Martha, you know. So then you base your whole philosophy and doctrine on Aunt Martha, instead of on what the word of God says. And through the last one is fears. Fears that can be instilled in people, again, by influential people. Friends, family, influential voices, people that we're around all the time. See, you can't stay in the enemy's camp day in and day out for years at a time and not be impacted. So what you're around, the culture you're around, what you put yourself around day in and day out will impact how you think. So that's why it's so important, as you protect your children, it's you can't just let them go and listen to whatever and be around whatever and think that it's not going to impact their thinking, that it's not going to impact their lives. So you as parents have a responsibility to protect your children just as much as you have a responsibility to protect your own mind. See, it's not just a one-way thing where you protect your children, but then you go do whatever. And go, no, just listen to what I'm saying, but don't do what I do. You can't operate that way. You've got to protect your own mind. You've got to protect your own heart. And not just protect it, but grow it. Grow it. Say, I'm going to seek these things out. I'm going to dig after the truth. I am going to find the word of God for my situation. See, this concept of, well, what's God got for me today? Okay. And just read that. Sometimes that's not going to necessarily speak to your situation at the moment. If you need a word on something, then begin to study the word of God for that specific thing in your life. Listen to sermons on it. Find all the scriptures on it. Read the word of God on it. Begin to write down what God says. Write down, in fact, when you read the word of God, see, people oftentimes read the word of God and they think, well, God's got a word for me every single day. Sometimes the Lord just wants to reveal principles to you. Sometimes the Lord wants to reveal his promises to you, and sometimes he may give you direction. But too many people read the word of God for the purpose of speak to me today instead of growing their knowledge of who he is and taking the time to slow down and study the word of God and what the word of God says. So when you read the word of God, have the basic understanding that prophecy, principles, and promises. Prophecies, principles, and promises. Because you can read a short passage of scripture, and within that passage of scripture, you should be able to pick out either a prophecy, a promise, or a principle out of that passage. Even when you're reading a story, you can read a story and look at that story and go, what do I think that God is trying to give me in that story? What is the principle that's coming out from that story? What do I see as truth? What is it that God, why did he put this and include this in his word? So we could see what? Because there's a principle in that. Well, sometimes there's a prophecy. And a prophecy can include your identity as well. Or it can include what your inheritance is in Christ. And then there's promises that we can stand on. So when you read the Word of God, read from that mindset. And if you want to learn how to study the Word of God more, then I will be starting a class in January. The day I do not have nailed down yet, but we will be doing that to continue on with our college classes. Little plug for that so you understand or know what's coming. How to study the Word of God in January. So transforming our mind. So let's flip over. I want to finish up today with a verse from 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 13. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he says that we're to rest our hope fully on the grace that's being brought to us through the revelation of Jesus Christ, through the revelation of who he is in his word. So our hope is to be in him. Our hope is to be in the word. So he says to gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. I want to focus on this statement for a minute. To gird up the loins of your mind. That word to gird up is an older word that they would use in the biblical days in the Eastern cultures, because they would wear, you know, in the hot deserty areas, they would wear the robes or the tunics and the long coats. It helped keep them cooler than pants would. So they had these long robes or long tunics that they would wear. But if they were going to lift something, if you can imagine, if there's a heavy stone in front of you and you've got to lift it and you're trying to do work, and as far as, you know, you squat down so far, well, you've maximized your capacity to be able to move. So you get so far, and if you keep going, you're going to bust a seam. Something's going to rip, right? So you don't want to be walking around with your tunic busted open. So you have to gird up the tunic. Or if you're running from place to place, or if you've got to fight, you don't want a long robe getting in your way. So you would reach between your legs, grab the back hem of the tunic, bring it up and stuff it down your belt. That would bring it up kind of like diaper style. I know that sounds crazy to us, but that would free up their legs. And so now their legs are exposed about the thigh, so they're girding up their loins. The loin area was the thigh to the stomach. the waist area. That whole area is considered the loin area. That loin area, in the Eastern cultures or biblical days, the representation of that was strength. Because the loins is where your productivity comes from. It's where your seed comes from. So even whenever, if you remember in the Old Testament, when sometimes they would have someone like Abraham made his servant swear to him, and he would put his hand under his right thigh. There was a purpose for that, because the thigh was considered your strength. The thigh was considered part of the loins, where your strength or the core of your ability, your productivity or creativity, the ability to create came from. So the purpose of that was that you were swearing to the very core or to the very strength or to the very being of someone. And so it was a very solemn oath or a very solemn vow that you were making. And so that idea of girding up the loins of your mind, well, your mind is your understanding, your thought processes, your beliefs, where you make reasoning happen, where you make decisions happen. So when he says, gird up the loins of your mind, he's actually stating, like, in our physical life, the loins is where our strength comes from. If you football players, you know, that, or any kind of sport, wrestling especially, when you get down, the core right here is where your strength resides. And so in a physical sense, this is where the strength mainly comes from, is from your thighs through the abdomen. Well, what's it mean when it says gird up the loins of your mind? He's saying your mind is your greatest asset. Your mind is your greatest strength. Your mind is what you've got to protect. So you've got to gird up. You have to protect. You've got to get rid of the distractions. And if you would imagine for a moment in a picture form, if a man has the long tunic and he's trying to run from one city to another to give a message, can you imagine him running without girding up his loins? He's getting tripped up. You ladies know probably more than the men. If you've worn a long evening dress and you're trying to run in it, you're like this, especially those mermaid style dresses, you know, it's like that's about as far as you can get. But it's like the same concept. You can't get very far. It's going to take three times the amount of time. You're going to get tripped up in it. You could fall. I saw this one reel. And these ladies were all dressed up. They were crossing the street, and they were like, hurry, we'll beat the traffic. And so, like, all five of them took off. And it was, like, two sets of, you know, oncoming traffic. And there was, like, three lanes in each one, and they from one stoplight to the other. And they all take off running. And of course, the whole idea behind it was the one girl, she was used to wearing cowboy boots. She was not used to running in heels. And all the other girls were used to dressing up, so they just, like, took off and in their heels, and they made it fine, and they looked back. The other girl, she had those heels on. She could not run in them, and she fell four different times going across the street. And it was totally embarrassing for her, and she had this long, beautiful dress on, and she, you know, she, like, fell over herself. But it's that same concept of running and trying to get the job done. Whenever you've not girded up the loins. So with our mind, if we don't gird up our thinking, if we don't go to the Word of God and say, how does God want me to view this? Because there's freedom and there's life in the Word of God. In fact, I believe it's in Colossians. Hold on. Let me make sure I'm giving you the right passage of Scripture. Maybe I didn't write it down. No, I did. Romans, in Romans 8, 6 through 8, it says, for to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when we operate according to the Word of God, then we're releasing life and peace into our situation. When we operate according to what His Word says, then we are walking, we have the guarantee of walking in life and peace. And then it goes on, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's the enemy of God. The carnal mind, the fleshly mind, we can just expect there's not going to be success with the fleshly mindset. It's an enemy of God. It goes against the things of God. But it says a spirit-minded person is life and peace. And it says for the fleshly mind or the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. It doesn't want to submit to the law of God. Nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And of course, that's a great chapter to read, Romans 8, because it all talks about living in the spirit and to be spirit-minded. But in order to gird up our mind, we have to make sure that we're taking the time to receive the word of God. We've got to check our heart. Are we receiving it? Whenever I hear it and I know that it's the truth for my life, am I receiving it? Or do I just get mad about it? See, that's the problem right there, is if we get huffy about it, if we get mad, well, that preacher, that life group leader, that, you know, whoever it was. See, it's easy whenever we listen to something on our phone because it doesn't get personal. We can shut it off, no big deal, right? Because that person doesn't know me personally and I don't know him. I can just bypass it, no big deal. But if there's a person in your life and they're a leader over you or authority over you and they say, hey, you might want to check this. You got this going on, da 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 da, and you get offended over it and it is the truth, according to the word of God, then we got to check our heart. Because the fact that I got defensive or mad shows that I have a wrong belief somewhere. Because if I don't get mad, but I still disagree according to the word of God, let's say that I say, well, you know, the word says da 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 da, and I don't believe that I'm wrong in this instance because of this, this, and this, and I'm able to come at it with in a respectable way, and I'm not offended, then that means that that thing doesn't have a hold on my heart. Like when we do a tithe and offering message in here, it's for the promotion of knowledge so that you understand. But if someone gets offended over it every single time, then there's a problem in the heart. Because I can sit there and listen to a message, and because I tithe, and because I give my offering, and I'm in accordance with the law of God, I'm not mad over it. I'm not offended. But the reason I would get offended is if it happens and I'm not in check with the word of God and now I'm getting mad, but now I want to go out there and say, well, they do this and they do that and that's all they want is your money. And I got to think of all these reasons why they're doing this and why it doesn't fit my theology. See, this is what the brain does. This is what we do when we try to build our what? Our own defenses. When we try to take the reasoning, the stronghold, and build our own fortification around our defenses or around our reasoning. If that happens, then we have to check our heart. Because if our heart is hardened or offended or mad, then we probably need to yield it somewhere to the Word of God. And we need to go to the Word of God and say, Holy Spirit, correct me where I need corrected. Don't let me get hard just because someone said something to me. But let me grow. Even if the person is wrong, do you need to get offended? No. You worry about your growth in the Lord, and you focus on what God's telling you to do. But you don't need to get offended with them, because that stunts your growth. So always be concerned about where your placement is with the Holy Spirit. Minister, can you come to the keyboard, please? You know, one of the things that God said to the Israelite nation before they got ready to come out of the land of bondage of Egypt, he said, have your belt on or be girded up, have your staff, have your sandals on, and be ready to go. Be ready to leave. Why did he say that? Be ready to make haste. Because when that Passover feast happens and the deliverance is there, you run. Get out of that place and run for your freedom. That's how we should treat the Word of God. That when we receive the Word of God, we should be girding up our loins, protecting our minds, making sure that we're not allowing false belief systems and things that are trying to inundate our families and the strongholds that are trying to infiltrate into our community. The only way to combat that is through knowledge. How do you tear a stronghold down? Then you have to have the knowledge. You have to gain the knowledge. Just like I said before, missionaries go into cultures that have strongholds. Well, what are those? They're belief systems that have been put in place for years based upon something that wasn't truth. And they live, the whole culture lives by it. Well, when that happens, what's the only way to defeat that? To just stay in your prayer room and pray? No, missionaries have to go out and do what? Give the knowledge of Christ. And they have to teach what the Word of God says for their situation. And that's why it can be difficult going into any culture, including American culture, and preach the things that are a stronghold in that area, because it goes against belief systems and it goes against mindsets. Even in your workplaces, there's going to be mindsets that you're dealing with that goes against the things of God, and you feel it. It's like there's tension there because of it. You know, like there's a stronghold of apathy or a stronghold of comfort. Like we just do whatever we feel like, whatever, you know, pleases the flesh. That's what we do. And to go against that feels like you're just grating constantly against it. The only way to tear down strongholds of the mind is through knowledge. And it's not through beating people over the head. They've got to see it in you, and they've got to begin to desire it. So first of all, pray for their heart. Pray for them. Pray for their heart that they would be ready to receive it, that they would see the light in you, that conversations would begin to open up about it, that they would desire the same thing. But then there has to be a time of knowledge. There has to be a time of explaining why. Of explaining why this is beneficial for my life. Go ahead and stand to your feet. You know, there were different times in the Bible when the enemy attacked certain people and certain leaders, because those leaders were there for a purpose, and it was to either build or bring their people into freedom, or build something up to elevate the kingdom of God. And every time the enemy would come at them hard. One was when Moses was trying to lead the people out of Egypt. And what did Pharaoh do? Let him go find their own straw. We're not going to gather it for him anymore. Let him make the job harder for him. They have too much time on their hands. Accusation. And then there was compromise. Well, just let the men go, but not the women and the children. Well, then let them go, but not, they can't take animals. Compromise. Compromise to the Word of God. And see, a lot of people fold in those moments. Well, okay, we'll just take the men and the women and the children, when God specifically said, take the animals. You're coming out. You're all coming out. And you're coming out with wealth, and you're coming out with all the cattle and all the sheep and all the... You're coming out fully loaded. But some people go, okay, well, we'll compromise, and we'll leave all the wealth and all the possessions behind, and we'll just tiptoe out and sneak out, just us and our families. You're depriving God of a miracle in that situation. And the thing is, God wants to act on your behalf. But you've got to believe in His word and be bold for His word. You got to stand and know that the Word of God is truth, and it is true for your situation, and it is true for your life. When the enemy comes in and tries to make you work harder or steal the word from you, and I'll probably get into that in a little bit in second service, because he tries to steal the word. When he knows that you got a revelation of something and you're trying to apply it in your life, He comes in and he tries to steal that word. The persecution of the word comes. And all of a sudden you feel the heat for it. And so people a lot of times will back off. This doesn't seem to be working. No, you work it. You work it. It's working. It's the enemy who's just tried to heat things up because he saw that you got the revelation. And he's trying to convince you not to pull that stronghold down. But if you stay after it, you're going to see that thing come down and you're going to see your breakthrough happen. You stay after it. You rely on the word of God. You know that the word of God is true. Don't allow him to convince you otherwise. Just because he turns up the heat, let that be an indicator that he's trying to close in because he knows your breakthrough's coming. It's right there. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much for this word, for this revelation. You know, this is even a revelation itself. Some of you have, the fact that you gain this revelation will bring you through to different levels, just this understanding right here, because now you realize that it's in your hands. It's no longer out of your hands. It's not just the enemy trying to, you know, just pull things on you and you don't have any idea. Like, you are empowered now. So I pray, Father, that this message, this revelation, would grow deep roots. That it would not be taken out. It would not be destroyed, but instead it would grow, that we would protect this word, Father. I thank you that the result of this word, the fruit of this word, will be life-changing, and that there will be strongholds from now until eternity that are pulled down because of the revelation of this word. I thank you, Lord, for the power of God, that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And as a result, he's been destroyed. And our job is to renew our minds according to your word, according to the kingdom of God. So, Father, we thank you for that this morning. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you that your word is always true. It never returns void, and it always produces what it was sent to do. Your word is powerful. It brings light to our understanding. So I pray that even this week, as people go home, as they read your word, that there's understanding for their situation, that there's revelation. Father, let them grow in the things of God. Father, glory to glory, strength to strength, faith to faith. As they read, let their faith arise in their hearts this week.